All right, let's go. All right, here we go. Now listen, I have to admit, Justin Bieber, you know him, he's up there pretty high in the...
He is, he's a big timer boy.
He's a big
Canadian
timer.
Canadian boy made good.
And yeah, local kid. I love the new outfits that Bieber designed. It was pretty good. Black. I got thinking after a while, Boston Bruins were the only team in the National Hockey League that had black. And I remember they're all black. I think one game they're all black. It really looked good. And Cheevers.
Well, you had black socks too.
Yeah, black socks and black pants and black, and really, really looked good. I really liked them. And Cheevers, you knew he was going to complain about something. Because
yes.
He'd already complained about they had a logo, or what was the logo?
It was
the
United Way logo.
United Way, inside the blue line.
On the ice.
Yeah, on the ice. And he said he lost pucks. All right, we'll put it outside the blue line. I don't like the black socks because I lose the puck. But that kind of made sense to me a little.
Yeah, you would think, right? If you're going to block a shot and you miss it and you got black socks on.
I never thought of that. Anyhow, we changed the goal. So we had black right up until we had gold socks.
I'll tell you one thing, though. The Leafs did look bigger. I don't know if it's just the color black makes you look bigger, but you look
everybody's black. Carolina's black now. Everybody's and you do look bigger. You do look, there is no doubt, you do look bigger.
Do you think you look more, you look
tougher.
Menacing? Is that the word?
Yeah, or something like that. And
as menacing as the Leafs could be.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Well, they look pretty good. They look big. They look big and they look tough when they got all black. He had another one, though.
He had one black and gold.
And then
everybody, all the people were making, all the Bruin fans were making fun of him. Say, if you can't beat him, join him.
Oh, is that right?
That's what the Bruin fans were making fun of it, because he had a black and gold one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had like little eyes.
And he had like a little smiley face on the leaf. So, Dad, this is Sunday morning. Last night, Montreal beat Toronto, and I asked you...
Yeah, but did have 51 shots.
Right, but I said to you that morning, yesterday morning, I said, all right, Toronto, Montreal, who's going to win? I said, we're going to tell spreads who we think's going to win, and you said, Montreal, straight up, and they won 3-2.
But I'm watching the game. Jake Allen was the guy that won the game for them.
Yeah.
I mean, 51 shots. It wasn't really... It wasn't called turkey shots, though.
No, but I mean, I think the shots, 50, like there was 30, they had, Toronto had 33 more shots.
Anyhow.
But the one thing that I
look like a genius, but I'm not.
But the one thing we talked about was the last couple of podcasts was you liked the shots either along the ice or top corner in the winter last night.
You put it along the ice and it'll always be a rebound because the guy can't catch it along the ice. And after every practice, I used to have the, and if they shot high, I would, you know, if they shot high, I can't say what I'd say, but I wanted all the shots from the points along, or just off the ice, screamers.
But let me ask you, Dad, like how do you feel about teams that, you know, they're out of the playoffs? You must admire that they're still trying, they're still getting the grit and the whole deal, and they're digging down. Like, do you respect that, or?
Nope. I'm the
really?
Only. No, I know. I should admire it.
They haven't given up.
You know, I don't. Where were they in November? And I remember one time Colorado had a lousy team. They beat us in the Boston Gardens. And to go by, to go off, if you had to go by the bench.
But I do remember, I think part of it was that they jumped around like they won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, they were jumping around.
Well, it must have been
Mike
a big
Christie.
Deal, Colorado beating Boston in Boston.
Yeah, I know.
Come
we
on.
Never lost in Boston, in the Boston Garden very often. And I stood, and I give them heck. Where were you guys in November when it really counted? Yeah, you're beating them now. You ain't got nothing to lose. I as a coach, and I still think as a coach, listen, it's good for their fans. They do, and they do win. There's no doubt about it. They don't quit. and they're playing for next year's contracts.
Oh, is that it? That's the incentive.
That's the way I look at it. No, I don't admire them. Where were they in November? When in November, and then I think you're a good team.
So, Dad, the late game last night on Sportsnet was crazy. Was it 9-5 that Edmonton lost to Calgary? And the thing that I can't get over is Dreisaitl had 4 points, and he was -4.
He got a hat trick, didn't he?
Got a hat trick.
And
they were throwing hats on the ice. But how can you get 4 points and you're -4?
Yeah, that is rather strange. But he's still a good hockey player. To throw a hat on the ice. Cindy, you got a funny story.
Well, every time I see hats getting thrown on the ice, I think of we were with the, when we owned the Mississauga Ice Dogs, and I was sitting in a box, and right in front of us was a row of, you know, people, a father and a son. And the son, you could tell, the father just bought him a brand new Mississauga Ice Dogs hat.
And they were nice hats.
They were nice hats. And I was in charge of merchandise, so I always noticed all that kind of stuff. And somebody got a hat trick, and the little boy, he was only 7 or 8, got his hat.
He saw everybody else.
And threw it on the ice. And the father was dumbstruck. And he started yelling at his kid, "I just bought you that hat, and you throw it out."
They were pretty expensive.
They were $20-25. And the kid started to cry. And I felt so bad that I went down in the office and got another Mississauga Ice Dog hat and said, "Here, kid, here, enjoy." And he looked and he couldn't believe it. So every time I think that, because some of those hats still have the tags. I know that's in to keep the tags on, but they're pretty nice, expensive hats these days.
Yeah, and I see Pasternak, he got a hat trick the other night. He picked up a couple of them and kept them.
I often wonder what they do with all those caps.
Yeah, I see them showing them in garbage cans.
And you go, they're worth a few bucks.
I mean, some of them are brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah, you asked me, would I throw a hat on? I said, depend who scored the hat trick. If a guy scored the hat trick on my team, I wouldn't throw it on.
You know, I said if I get excited at the game, but you know what I used to get excited is when George Tavallo used to fight. I used to work, you know, work in the morning and then drive up to see him fight that night. Rose used to come along.
Can you go to Toronto or Montreal?
Go to Toronto. And we used to go to King Charles. What was it? King Charles Under the Clock or something. I forget. It was a Chinese food anyhow. We used to go there and then we'd go. And boy, when he knocked out Alex Smidoff, knocked him right out of the ring, George Tavallo, you couldn't believe the crowd. The crowd went absolutely nuts. I grabbed Rose. I would dance it around.
I just can't see Ma at a boxing match.
Nah, she just come along. Just
come
to
for
have
the dinner.
Here. Well, you know, the drive up and the whole deal. I mean, that's the only reason. But I'll tell you what, I used to get excited at his fight. I could tell you every fight he had with the championship fight. I used to go to all of them and I used to get excited. Boy, I'll tell you, with George Tavallo, boy, he was the hometown favorite.
You know, I like to see the Leafs win. And the reason I like to see the Leafs win is because I had we owned a restaurant in Toronto.
Well, we have restaurants now and they're packed.
They're packed. They're going back. The Leafs play, they're just jammed. And the restaurants and the waitstaff make a ton of dough. So I'm hoping the Leafs do well. But I got to tell you one thing. I'm getting sick and tired of listening to the Sportsnet guys. Every time Matthews falls down, that should have been a penalty. Do you know he doesn't draw enough penalties? That's the big thing. And last night, for the winner, the guy knocked him down. It wasn't a penalty. And they were going, I can't believe there wasn't a penalty. But the game, and we were talking about Calgary-Edmonton, boy, McDavid really does get knocked
down. Well, you know why he gets knocked down a lot? He's off balance a lot. He shoots off. That's why he gets so many goals. He shoots off the wrong leg.
Who, Matthews?
Matthews, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's off balance quite a bit.
So he's not diving.
No.
He's not going for the penalty.
And he doesn't complain.
No, he doesn't complain.
Yeah.
Matthews doesn't complain.
McDavid does. Does McDavid complain?
No, he does. After a while. Wow, holy smokes. Does he? I mean,
he gets it a lot worse than Matthews.
I can't believe it, the way he gets treated. I mean, Maybe he's a friend of mine, I guess, or I knew him when he was.
You feel his pain.
Well, he was cutting across just inside the blue line, which is dangerous, and the guy really corked him. And again, you know, you and I were talking. We said if that was Gretzky, the game would still be going on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I mean, well, it would be over. I tell you, I know I told a story before, but I'm going to tell it again. It was first year, I think it was one of his first or second year, and they were trying to prove a point. Ronnie DeLorme, God love him. Boy, he was a, I just love that guy, boy. He's a Chiefs coach for the Vancouver. Anyhow, they were looking the other way and they banged into one another.
And Gretzky.
And Gretzky. Yeah. And it was unbelievable. They were coming in the bench after. He said, I didn't mean to hit him. And not that he cared. He could take on.
And we said he fought Semenko.
Yeah, he'd fight anybody.
Yep.
But he says, I didn't mean to hit him. And not that Ronnie would care. But I tell you one thing. If Gretzky had to get treated the way McDavid gets treated right now, it would be a war.
So why doesn't Edmonton get a semi-tough guy just to whisper in somebody's ear about, I wouldn't
They don't believe in it. Now,
well, they don't believe in
well,
it.
Well, this was before the
instigator rule. Yeah. I get that, but there's other teams that have tough guys that sort of look after.
They don't predict the stars the way they used to.
They need Ryan Reeves.
Just knowing if you
like Reeves only has 35 minutes and penalties.
That's not. But nobody wants to fight him.
He's a deterrent.
If Gretzky had to get treated like McDavid, it would have been a lot easier. If they ever touched Gretzky the way McDavid gets touched, there'd be a war. I tell you one thing, and don't forget when he went to L.A., the one person he asked to bring along was McSorley.
Well, and with saying that, why I would think Semenko was tougher than McSorley, wouldn't you say?
Not that McSorley couldn't play.
Well, McSorley was kind of that was McSorley was getting or. Semenko was getting older and he went on to Toronto and all that.
Yeah, but he still could throw him pretty good. The reason he didn't bring him along was, and Semenko could throw him pretty good, was McSorley was a good player. He was a real good player. And you had to bring along a pretty good player. Anyhow, he brought him along. And if you touched Gretzky, and it wasn't as bad in L.A. or as good, whatever you wanted to call it.
Yeah, whatever.
whatever you wanted to
your,
call it.
Your perspective
but I'll tell you one thing. McDavid does get... I just can't believe he gets tripped right in front of the referee and the referee won't call it. You have a theory, Tim, about...
It's just... Like last night he got corked and the guy had to call it. And, you know, the guys are hooking and holding them. And then I do think the refs get a little sick of hearing, you don't call enough penalties on McDavid.
They don't.
And they don't. And then McDavid grabbed the guy, then they gave McDavid the penalties if to say, you want me to call a penalty? Fine, I'll call it. How's that? You want me to call hooking and holding like that? So there you go. And
they're only human, right?
Yeah, you could just see McDavid just skating to the box kind of. Well, he did grab the guy, but still.
Well, that was a good game last night between. that's the kind of score that they want in the National Hockey League. What was the score? 9-5?
9-5, or yeah.
It had to be an exciting game to watch.
And you know what the weird thing was? Calgary scored all even strength goals.
Yeah. Funny, eh? That really is funny. But anyhow, that's what the National Hockey League wants. Lots of goals, and Sutter doesn't want.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel. If you get 3 of your jackets, you win big money. And your first sports bet, they'll bet you...
And they help Cindy.
They'll bet you $25. They've been a great supporter of the Don Cherry Pet Rescue Foundation. And they're good guys to work with. And it's lots... You know, even if you put $2 on a game...
Yeah.
You're like, geez. You know,
I have to tell you, I told you before that Montreal was going to win. And I was hoping that.
That's right. Even if you got a buck on the game, you know, you're hoping they win.
And they're Canadian. And
Canadian funds.
Canadian funds. And I don't know why anybody else would want to bet anybody
else. And
there's
a lot of competition on TV.
Oh, my goodness.
And the thing is, you got to talk about spreads. Whatever, like Gretzky's doing MGM now or whatever, and then there's Bet99 and all of them out there. They're American.
Gretzky tried to sue them, you know.
Yeah, Bet99, right?
Yeah, 99.
Like, and but any bet that you can make on those, you can make on spreads. There's no difference. There's nothing like, well, you go there, you get better odds.
Do you see last night at during the game, they had, if you pick, at the bottom of the, you know, it's unbelievable. They had no betting before, and now they got it on TV.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So, But if you want to bet, go check out spreads.ca. I said they're Canadian-owned, and they're a good friend of the Dontray Pet Rescue. So, Dad, that's the best thing to talk about is all the trades that happened.
Holy smokes. Well, I wrote them down. I have to admit I wrote them down. And there's one trade, or not a non-trade, was Dubas, who was really upset with Kyle Davidson. He was the Chicago... He leaked to the press. You know.
So the trade was that the Leafs are going to do, I think, Mikhaylov and another guy, a prospect who plays in college, and first-round pick for Fleury and Hagel, who had 21 goals.
Yeah.
So that was the trade that wasn't made, but...
So do you think Dubas had a right to be upset?
Yeah, I think he did. He definitely had a right to be upset. Because now Campbell thinks that, you know, they're going into the playoffs. Even don't like, he knows Fleury. If he had got a hold of Fleury, Fleury would be the guy going into the playoffs.
He wouldn't be playing.
But you make your goalie look bad. Not bad. That's not the word. But you make him think that he's number two. If they play number three, and he should never ever. That's a rookie GM doing that. Well, Tim, I think I'll go over the. I wrote them all down, and for the guys that are in. Where did you say that? You say they're in Ukraine.
Yeah, here's a strange one, Cindy. So the war going on in Ukraine now has been going probably a month now, right?
Yeah.
And on our website, we can look to see where our downloads are. In the last 2 weeks, we've had over 200 downloads in the Ukraine.
Uh-oh. Is Trudeau not telling us something?
I don't know. I don't understand that one.
But it's kind of strange.
It is kind of strange. Yeah. So with all the things going on, we must be putting more soldiers over in there or something. Well, Leafs picked up Giordano and Blackwell. I don't know about Blackwell too much, but I know one thing. I like that Giordano. He's a hometown boy, and he looked pretty good. And I think he's going to play good for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs lost Travis McDermott. I'll tell you one thing. The Bruins got that big Josh Brown, big defenseman, 6'5". Bruins always get guys big. That Lindrum looked pretty good. He got an assist on the winning goal. Oh, by the way, I have to mention Marchment's goal. Holy smokes, that winning goal last week.
It was in the 3-on-3 against Montreal.
And I thought he lost the puck. And I showed it over, and let's see if he lost the puck. That was something you do in the next you do that in a practice sometime.
Yeah, it was like you look at it. It was like, okay, you know, it's last shot on net. Then you're going off.
And you're just fooling around.
What a goal!
Oh, what a goal!
But that Hampus Lindrum. Imagine that he signed 8 years, $50 million.
Well, he looked pretty good though. He looked like fit right in. He's a big guy. And
so you and I were talking the other day, Dad. That you looked at the teams that were trading. There's a common theme.
They have an edge. Most of the guys they traded getting ready for the playoffs. Everybody wanted to get ready for the playoffs because, as I've said many times before, I started right from training camp getting ready for the playoffs because nobody cares about the regular season, and you could see every guy that was traded had a little edge to him.
So, Dad, the Hurricanes, they picked up Max Domi he's got 10 goals and 23 points.
Well, he plays with an edge. We were talking about him, and I think that Brendan Moore is the coach, and if you can't get along with Brendan Moore, you won't get along with anybody because he played. He knows what's going on.
So, Dad, the Lightning, they're trying to three-peat. They're struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah, they're not playing the way they can play. If you're going to go into a slump, this is the time to go into a slump.
But, boy, they got bigger. They got that Nylee Rash from Seattle. He's 6'2". Nick Paul from Ottawa got goals.
Yeah, he got a beautiful goal.
First game, 6'3". They got that Hagel, got 21 goals from Chicago. Why would Chicago trade him?
I don't understand that. There's supposed to be a
rebuild.
Rebuild or something, and they get rid of the young guy. I don't understand that. I guess, I don't know.
Well, Taze and Kane weren't too happy.
No. I know, and they said something in the paper. Usually they don't say something in the paper. But go ahead, Tim.
And I think there's a couple other ones. Well, Florida, again, they got bigger. They got that defenseman from Buffalo, 6'2", yep. The Hague. And then they got Claude Giroux and Ben Chiarot.
Yeah, yeah, Giroux. Well, he was going to go. They gave him a pretty good send-off in Philadelphia. But Giroux, he's a goal scorer.
Yeah, he got a point, I think, 7 seconds into his first game. But maybe just talk a little bit about, like, Florida was in first place, I think second overall in the league, first place in the East. And you know that Giroux and Sherrod are going to play a ton of ice time.
Yeah.
Can that screw
up? The only problem, Tim, I see in that is that somebody, they were going pretty good, Florida.
Yeah, they were
smoking. two guys who are not going to play. I don't care what you say. Two guys who are playing regular on that team are not going to play. And, you know, either that or they'll go down to the fourth line. They call them fourth lines now. And life isn't fair. That's the way it is.
Have you ever been on a team where guys come in, not so coaching, but maybe playing, and maybe in your day it was different, that a guy came in to the team and kind of threw off the team?
No, we were always happy the guy came in. But the guys that don't play bond together. And the guys are if they're in the doghouse of the coach, they bond together. And that's why I sometimes, when I was with the Boston Bruins, we'd get a guy hurt, I wouldn't bring a guy up. And the guys in Rochester never understood that. We had pretty good players down there. And Harry just let me go. Harry sent in the general managers, just let me go. If we had a loss, we were gone. But the players knew what I was doing. And I was protecting their job. And when you do that, boy, you better win, because if you don't win, you're gone.
So, Dad, talking about pressure to win, the Minnesota Wild GM, Billy Guerin, he's under a little bit of pressure to win.
I just admire that Guerin, because imagine going into the owners, you go in Suter, I think it's Suter and Parisi, you know, two top players, but you're never, ever going to win with them. I think he just started to play now, Parisi, going for next year. But anyhow,
$200 million worth of contract.
$200 Holy million.
Smokes.
And you're going in and you're going to say, we want to get rid of them.
They're going to buy him out.
You're going to buy them out. You talk about a lot
That's
of guys.
That's a tough sell.
That is a tough sell. The owner that really doesn't know what's going on. And I really admire him. And they're doing pretty good. And he made a trade for Fleury. And he's playing Fleury. And they should do pretty good in the playoffs. They're a pretty good team right now.
Yeah, well, I think it shifted the whole thing. And they got tougher. So they got a guy named Jacob Middleton from the Sharks, 6'3" defenseman. He does hits a game is his average. And then that De La Rosa, they got him. And he leads the league in fights.
They got a tough club. They got a good goalie now. The owner must believe in Guerin.
Yeah. Right? The one thing I couldn't believe about Minnesota, they're fourth in the league in goals for.
Yes.
And they're like 20th in goals against. That's why they got Fleury.
Yeah,
right?
Fleury. Yeah, Fleury. I know he's old. They say he's old and not now, but he's playing like he's 20 years old. He's playing as good now as he ever played.
Okay, Dad, we got a question here from Dave Smits. He asked if you have any stories of the Portland Buckaroos with Tommy McVie and Connie Madigan.
A lot of people would say,
what is a buckaroo?
A buckaroo is like a cowboy that rides horses and stuff like that, and at fairs and stuff like that. Buckaroo. And you know who Messier's dad played for the Buckaroos too? Don Messier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And
so that would have been what, the WHL?
WHL. We won it that year. We never lost a game in the playoffs.
Who were you playing for?
I was playing for Vancouver Canucks. They had a better team. We had a better team in the WHL. We had Andy Bathgate. Andy Bathgate only played our power play and the point.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And then he played the regular shift when he went to when they went to
the Leafs.
Yeah. So we never lost a game. So Connie Madigan, who you ask about?
So he was asking about the Buckaroos. They had a reunion, and Tommy McVie was there, and Connie Madigan, your buddy, the Mad Dog.
Mad Dog Madigan. I'll tell you a story about Connie Madigan told me a story about Tommy McVie. Tommy McVie at one time used to drink a little too much. Oh, he doesn't touch a drop now.
We could say that about a lot of guys back then.
Yeah, I include myself, I guess. I used to drink too much. I did. I guess I shouldn't say that, but I did. Anyhow, They told Connie Madigan told me the story, and Schmott. No, I think Bobby Schmott's Bob was on the. Oh, imagine Bobby Schmott's and Madigan. But anyhow, they're down on a beach, and they had a house down on the beach. There was three single guys, and Tommy come in, and he was really hammered, eh? And he's laying on the couch, like out cold, and they took a door off. They actually took a door off the thing, and put it on top of him. And then got three great big rocks and put it on top. Went out on the beach, got the big, put it, and Tommy, and Schmatzy said, all he heard was, Schmatzy, Schmatzy, help me, Schmatzy.
You'd almost wake up and think you were in a coffin or something.
Well, you know, wake up, imagine you're drunk. Well, you're not drunk. But anyhow, he wakes up and there's a door pressing right down on his nose and he can't move because the rocks are on top of it. That they used to do things like that all the time. I could tell you stories, but I always remember the Portland Buckaroos. We played against them. That was the last game we played. We beat them and I was going off the ice and we're up 3-0. I mean, nobody's going to beat us now. And I remember Joe Crozier coming up to me. You got to get these guys straightened. I got to get them straightened up. What? Like, I'm not even the captain. And he said, you got to get them straightened out. And so I remember they had little bottles of 7-Up. Remember 7-Up? The little wee bottle,
yeah,
little
green bottles. Yeah.
And I remember breaking one of them or something like that, and they were drinking. And you guys, we went nothing yet. We don't want to hang around here. We want to get it back. You know? And by God, but I guess I wanted to get back to Rochester and Rose and you.
Yeah,
and
I remember that. I know, like, Mom wasn't too happy. You left Rochester. You were with the Amerks and Crozier.
No, I remember I was at another place in Tulsa. I must tell you some stories about Tulsa. And she says, and the whole northeastern.
Oh, that was a blackout?
Yeah, blackout, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what you call it. And so she phoned me. And she says, we're here freezing. There's no electricity. There's no nothing. It's all dark. And it's snow piled up. And she says, what are you doing tonight? And I didn't know what to say. So in for a penny, in for a pound. I says, well, we're going out to the bar, have a barbecue at the owner's place. I didn't know what to say, you know, when she said the thing is out. And I said, well, Rose, I said, I got bad news. I am going to a barbecue for the owners. Like I said, but there's one thing that the players are very unhappy. And she says, what are they unhappy about? I says, well, they only have Lone Star beer.